Hello and welcome to the Monday, February 3rd, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Friday, we noticed that the half-hour sensors light up occasionally with traffic from networks that appear to be dealing with anti-denial of service services. Of course, because of the business these networks are in, they are experiencing a lot of denial of service traffic, and a lot of that denial of service traffic is spoofed. One pattern we do see a lot here is from these networks that they are responses for which the networks that receive those responses never sent a stimulus because the traffic was spoofed originally. As a result, then the receiving network may reject the traffic and log it as attacks. There is not much these anti-denial of service business really can do to prevent this. Really just a matter of these denial of service attacks. Also, from what we can tell so far, they're not really causing any damage here. It's not that the traffic they're sort of reflecting off is causing issues for other networks. Really more an annoyance with respect to your logs. And in other news, Google Chrome is making it easier for users to reset Chrome to its default configuration if malware should have altered them. Once Chrome detects that its settings have been altered, it will alert the user and then allow the user to essentially just go back to the default configuration. I'll have to play with that a little bit and see how this really all works sort of in real life. Now, if you do reset Chrome this way, then you may also disrupt some legitimate extensions. There is a warning in the dialog box that will tell you about that, but just be aware that you may have to reinstall some of those extensions. And today is, of course, the Super Bowl, the largest US sports event of the year. As with many large public events, security has been a major topic. To give some insight into its security operations, the TV network CBS aired a story with footage from the Security Operations Center. Sadly, they didn't sanitize the footage, and a shot of a great video wall that's used to monitor a stadium included an easy legible Wi-Fi SSID and passwords. It is always difficult to provide access to restricted areas like this and to sort of count on a clean desk policy, it's sometimes called, to keep secrets out of sight. In particular, of course, with a video wall like this one, an added complication may be that the operator who is actually in charge of the video wall may not actually be having direct access and view of the room the video wall is being seen in, so they may not actually notice that there are cameramen here watching this. And then, of course, a lot of this is temporary, which then makes it even harder to set up strict procedures with curtains or such covering up certain parts of the room. And more bad news for embedded devices. This time it's cellular modems. USB modems in particular, not necessarily the sort of Wi-Fi or MiFi modems, but the ones that you just plug in as a USB dongle, turns out, well, they have web applications too. Now, some of the older modems, they use sort of a serial connection, even over USB, so they emulated a serial interface, but some of these newer ones, particular, like if you have a cell phone, for example, that's tethered to a laptop, they will just implement an IP connection. So in order to manage the modem, you just connect to its built-in web server, just like you do with these Wi-Fi devices. And then, of course, those web applications that are reachable, they can then also be used to, for example, send and receive SMS messages. In this particular exploit, the web browser is then tricked into sending data that was collected from other sites to the attacker in the form of an SMS. So essentially, the attacker would, for example, launch a cross-site scripting attack against the site, extract, let's say, cookies or whatever, and then use that built-in web application in the modem to SMS those cookies to the attacker. This prevents the cookies from being spotted, for example, on a proxy or other information. It makes it a little bit easier if the attacker doesn't have a fixed infrastructure like web servers. But traditional routers still got some more vulnerabilities to share as well. Some routers use obfuscation techniques now to make it more difficult to reverse the firmware. For example, a recent Linksys WRT120N firmware update was obfuscated. Luckily, there is now utility available to simply deobfuscate it and make it available for reverse analysis. As far as I can tell, it was sort of a simple byte swap technique they used here, so really was pretty easy to set up the utility. And a new version of Windows SysInternals Process Explorer is now available with VirusTotal integration, which I think is pretty neat. With this feature, now if you see a suspicious process, Process Explorer will calculate the checksum for it and then submit it to the VirusTotal database to see if it had already been identified as malicious. I believe this tool just compares the hashes, but maybe there's a feature I haven't seen yet that actually allows you to upload the malware. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.